Time now for the quote of the week. And in a moment, I'm going to tell you why it's personal. Yeah, it has personal significance. And I'll say, I've never mentioned why before. But to the quote, in a new book called The Year the World Went Mad, Professor Mark Woolhouse, a distinguished epidemiologist and a member of the UK Scientific Pandemic Influenza Group on modeling, that's the group that gives expert advice to the UK's Department of Health and Social Care, and also to the wider UK government on scientific matters relating to the response to the pandemic. In the book, he states in quotes, "We knew from February 2020, never mind March, that the lockdown would not solve the problem. It would simply delay it." In quotes, "There was never at any stage, even by the following year, any form of analysis of the harms caused by lockdowns. Were they even considered? I haven't seen any evidence that they were. And that is why it's very, very troubling," end of quote. He goes on to say that, in quotes, "The early global response to the pandemic was woefully inadequate." He added that the World Health Organization praising China for its draconian zero COVID approach set the stage for similar disasters across the world. I must add, not that it's important, by the way, but I feel personally vindicated. You know, in March 2020, I did several comments asking, just simply asking, where's your cost-benefit analysis on the lockdowns? I certainly had an appreciation of what the economic damage would do, but I also had an understanding of the negative impact or potential on mental health, potential suicide rates, domestic violence. I asked about all of them. And I certainly wasn't guessing when I asked if anyone had considered the impact on people with intellectual disabilities. Of course, I didn't get an answer because, as I strongly suspected, they didn't do any. I mean, it's incredible. The health officers, health ministers, medical professionals advising the government had never considered the consequences. And what's not as well understood is the full lockdown approach was against the existing research. I mean, just a year before, 2019, the World Health Organization and Johns Hopkins, it was really a short time before the pandemic hit, said lockdowns didn't work. Anthony Fauci, in January of 2020, when the Chinese lockdown, said, well, that'll be interesting because they've never worked in history. And like so many other areas, including climate change policy, I find the immaturity of thought was such that they never considered doing a cost-benefit analysis. And worse, actually, they went after anyone who talked about the costs. And that included me. Those straightforward comments when I was asking for a cost-benefit analysis were the first time I'd actually ever been called and questioned by the radio station's management. It was clear, to me at least, that questioning the government's narrative and the agenda was not welcome. I mean, what an incredible quote and admission. They were never even considered. And I think we've paid a steep price for that. Time now for the shocking stat of the week. You know, since Russia started moving, what, tens of thousands of troops to the Ukraine border, I guess that's about a month and a half ago, we've been hearing about sanctions. That's the way to stop Russian aggression. Well, the question we should ask is, how effective are actual sanctions? I mean, after all, sanctions certainly didn't work with Iran. Lots of sanctions on Venezuela didn't remove Nicolas Maduro. And we've had decades of U.S. sanctions on Cuba, didn't remove Castro. Which brings me to my shocking stat, and it's a brief one, but very understandable. Starting with the invasion of Crimea in 2014, Russia's invasion, malicious cyber attacks by Russia, human rights abuses, evading UN sanctions, and coercive export policy, according to the Congressional Research Service, you ready? The U.S. and Western allies have already put in place over 1,000 sanctions on Russia. Over 1,000 sanctions. And guess who's still in charge? Yeah, it's very difficult to make the case that sanctions work and create political change. Come on, Vladimir Putin's still there after 1,000 sanctions, and he's more aggressive than ever. Time now for this week's Goofy Award. You'd be forgiven for thinking under Jagmeet Singh, the words NDP leader is kind of an empty title, sort of like Mr. and Ms., given his undying support for Prime Minister Trudeau and the Liberal government. But I also want to be clear that he has every right to espouse the tenets of the woke upper middle class. It's his prerogative to deride the working class truckers and their countless supporters. And he can certainly support the government's Emergencies Act, which gives the power to freeze, of course, bank accounts of blue collar workers, the union workers, even frontline workers like firefighters, police and nurses, who don't hold, in the prime minister's word, acceptable views. I mean, he can even call the millions of people who support the Freedom Convoy racist without offering any proof whatsoever for the smear. But that doesn't mean he can't earn a great big goofy award. I think it's long overdue given his breathtaking lack of financial and economic sophistication. I still smile thinking that he actually thinks that buildings are the ones who pay property taxes or that companies pay corporate taxes. But I'll leave that for another time. For this week's goofy, I'm not talking about the NDP and Mr. Singh's refusal to support the union, the blue-collar frontline workers that populate the truckers' protests. I'm talking about his declaration of support for the Emergencies Act that included his insistence that the act never be applied, in quotes, to Indigenous land defenders, climate change activists, workers fighting for fairness. As the National Post Kelly McParland points out, that's quite something for an NDP leader to insist rights for some Canadians deserve greater protection than others. But as I said, that's certainly his and the NDP's right to change their philosophical direction. But I draw the line at the political double talk and the BS political spin. The act can never be applied to, in his words, workers fighting for fairness. Are you kidding? First, those are just empty, hollow words. There's no way to guarantee that the Emergencies Act can't be used by government, this government, but or any other in the future, now that the precedent's been set, against any group of people it chooses. As the Civil Liberties Association has made clear, in quotes, the federal government has not met the threshold necessary to invoke the Emergencies Act. Emergency legislation should not be normalized. It threatens our democracy and our civil liberties, end of quote. Well, I say that's too late. It already has been. But that's not the goofiest part. Well, maybe it is. But I won't ignore the statement that the convoy and its millions of supporters are not workers fighting for fairness. Come on. That reflects a breathtaking aloofness, a disconnect from Canadian workers that has been so prominent in the woke political class. I mean, whether you support the protests or not, the truckers were certainly fighting for their right to work, fighting not to be forced to quarantine if they're not vaccinated when they return to Canada. You know, I love the way the Wall Street Journal's Peggy Noonan says, in quotes, "The professional class of politicians, media people, scientists, and credentialed chatterers care about business, but in the abstract. Small business bankruptcies concern them. They have a sense some people will lose their livelihood, but they have no particular heart for them. They don't understand the sacrifice it takes, or that the shuttering of the store is literally the death of a dream," end of quote. And they clearly had no heart for the truckers. Even given just over a year earlier, by the way, the prime minister was lauding the truckers as heroes because they worked through the pandemic. They brought us our food, other essentials, for over 21 months of the pandemic. And by the way, the vast majority are vaccinated. But the government, with the support of Mr. Singh and the NDP, decided this can't go on any longer. After all, this is the working class, not the urban woke. Time to put them in their place. I mean, no attempt has been made by the political class, including Mr. Singh. People who gave themselves two raises during the pandemic for working only part-time at most. But there's been no attempt to acknowledge, let alone talk to the people who support the convoy. Instead, they simply dismiss them out of hand. Hey, just allow me one more reminder about the polar plunge. Ozzie Jurek and I are going to get into that cold water. And if you know me, you know I'm the biggest cold water wimp in history, but it's for a great cause. Children and adults with intellectual disabilities who are supported by Special Olympics. Most times, that's their only real connection to the community at large, or certainly the starting connection for the community at large. It's where their friends are. And it's been a difficult 2 years. In fact, that group, along with the elderly, probably had the most difficult time during the pandemic. I'm not saying there hasn't been a heck of a lot of people who've had a tough time, but that is one group that you didn't hear spoken about much, if at all, by our political leaders, by our healthcare professionals. What a tough time. But you can help. You did last year. I'm still shivering from that. Come on, imagine, I promise I'm going to do this. I'm going to wear lederhosen. Ozzy's going to be in the traditional German lederhosen, and we're going for a dip in the ocean. Oh my gosh, even saying that scares me. but you can help out. If everyone who listened to this podcast, and I know I mentioned this earlier, but if everyone in this podcast donated just $20, you get a tax receipt for that, it would make an incredible difference. And I'm just asking you, don't put it off. Don't get on to other things. Simply go to Plunge 4, and the number is 4. It's not written out. Plunge4SpecialOlympics.com. Then you click on Donate. Then you'll have to click on again and find Michael Campbell. That's my team. The team, Aussie and I. We're going to do it. We're going to plunge, but I need your support. It's for a worthy cause. And come on, most of us at least can afford the $20, especially when it's tax deductible, right? So it's not a net, it's not $20 overall. It's a net like $12 to $15. And I'm saying if everyone who listened to this podcast did that, we'd make a heck of a difference. I hope you do. In the meantime, go out and have a great week.